Good morning, church. How's everybody doing today? All right, good. If you have your Bible with you, go ahead and open it up. Head over to the book of Acts, chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 36. You know, Acts 15, verse 36 is where we'll pick up today. As you're headed over there, a couple of quick announcements. First of all, as Sean mentioned, today is Sean and Christy's last Sunday with us. They've served faithfully here at Houston Northwest for 26 years. So grateful for them. Yeah, we should give a round of applause for that. And today at the conclusion of our service, we'll have an opportunity to pray over them. And today from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll have a reception for them here in the Commons area. Sure would love it if you would just come by, tell them thank you, how much you appreciate them. I know that they would really love to see you and just hear from you, your thanks. So please make it a point to do that. One other thing I want to let you know about, today is Open House Sunday here at H&W. That's kind of the Sunday when the kiddos promote up to their next class, new groups begin to launch, ministries begin to launch, the new year kind of kicks off. If you are interested in any of that, have questions about any of that, then you can swing through the Commons after we finish here today. We have tables that are set up. You can get all your questions answered, get information, find out what's happening here at the church. We would love it if you would decide as the school year kicks off that you would get plugged in here at the church. So stop by there and make it a point to do so here today. All right, as you're headed over to Acts chapter 15, verse 36, I'm going to give a brief introduction to the Bible for anyone in the room who may be new to the Bible. The Bible is divided into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament gives us a record of God's chosen people, Israel, and tells us about their need for a rescuer or for a redeemer. They use the word Messiah to describe this rescuer or redeemer. The New Testament tells us who the rescuer, redeemer, Messiah is. We find out his name is Jesus. He's born of a virgin, lives a sinless human life, teaches a new way to live called the kingdom of God, dies on a cross for our sins, and 3 days later is risen from the dead. Those who hear his truth and follow him, believe him, become his disciples, are discouraged and frightened by his death, but then are greatly encouraged and become bold once he's resurrected from the dead. They go and they tell anyone who will listen that Jesus is the Messiah and you can have salvation and new life in him. We call that message the gospel, and we still preach it every week here at H&W. The book of Acts is where we hear about those who are taking the message of the Lord Jesus all over the world. And so today we're going to pick up in Acts 15, verse 36, and we're going to find out about some of these missionary teams. So I'm going to pray for us. We're going to read from the word, and then we're going to see what God might have for us today. Let's pray. Lord, we need to hear from you today. God, there's a lot of things happening in a lot of hearts and a lot of minds in this room. God, I don't know all of them. No one could except for you. And so, Father, my prayer is that somehow you take the water of my imperfect words and somehow through your Holy Spirit turn them into a wine that soothes and brings healing. God, we ask that you move through your Spirit today. Love you, Lord. We pray these things in the name of Jesus by the power of the Spirit. Amen. Acts 15, starting in verse 36. After some time had passed, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit the brothers and sisters in every town where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take along John, who was also called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take along this man who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone on with them to the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed off to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed after being commended by the brothers and sisters to the grace of the Lord. He traveled through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul went on to Derbe and Lystra, where there was a disciple named Timothy, the son of a believing Jewish woman, but his father was a Greek. The brothers and sisters at Lystra and Iconium spoke highly of him. Paul wanted Timothy to go with him, so he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, since they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled through the towns, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem for the people to observe. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. They had been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they came to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision in which a Macedonian man was standing and pleading with him, "Cross over to Macedonia and help us." After he had seen the vision, we immediately made efforts to set out for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, a Roman colony and a leading city of the district of Macedonia. We stayed in that city for several days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the city gate by the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women gathered there, a God-fearing woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, was listening. The Lord opened her heart to respond to what Paul was saying. After she and her household were baptized, she urged us, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. This is the word of the Lord. Peggy Jones and her husband were just having a normal day. They were going to mow the grass on their 3.5 acres. Peggy's husband went to one part of the property. Peggy went to another property. She was on her riding lawnmower. As she was mowing the grass, something happened that would certainly startle you. A snake fell from the sky. Not from a tree. That's what you think. No, not from a tree. From the sky. She was nowhere near a tree, and a snake fell from the sky and landed on her arm. The snake then proceeded to wrap itself around her arm. Now this, as you might imagine, startled Peggy a little bit. And she began shaking her arm violently to try to throw the snake off. Before she was able to do so, a hawk then descended from the sky. Apparently the hawk had found the snake for dinner and had dropped it and began to grab the snake and try to pull it off of Peggy's arm. The snake, being frightened, wrapped itself more tightly around Peggy's arm. And she began to pray the only prayer that would come out of your mouth in that moment. "Help me, Jesus." Now, eventually the snake was in fact taken by the hawk. Peggy did survive. She's okay. She got some punctures and some scrapes and some cuts and some bruises on her arm, but she's all right. They actually even found snake venom on her glasses. Talk about quite a scrape. And you're probably thinking, this is a fantastic story, but what does this have to do with anything? Fair question. I think that the thing about the story that fascinates me is they were loving life moments before a snake began to fall from the sky. And that's the way life is, isn't it, sometimes? You know, things are great. You're having a great time in life. Everything seems to be fantastic. And then suddenly a snake falls from the sky. Today, in my sermon, I want to talk about not just the brutal truth about life, but really the brutal truth about church. Because what we see in this episode is that sometimes things go sideways in church. And in the same way, sometimes things go sideways in life. And so I want us to think about how it is that we're supposed to handle ourselves when these things happen, because trust me, they will. And when they do, we have an opportunity, if you will, to see what God might do in the midst of that. So I want us to look at this passage today and see how God takes the things that go sideways and somehow is able to act even in the middle of it. So let's start here at the end of 15 in verse 36. The first thing that I want us to notice, the brutal truth about church, the brutally truthful thing that will happen sometimes in churches, is that people will leave. The first thing I want us to see is that there will be departures. Now, up until this moment, Paul and Barnabas have been sort of the dynamic duo of the book of Acts. They've been sent out by the church in Antioch, and they are starting churches and doing ministry everywhere that they go, but then they have a disagreement. Barnabas wants to bring along his cousin, John Mark. We find out that he's his cousin in another passage, not mentioned here, but he wants to bring along John Mark, and Paul says, "No way," because back in chapter 13, things had gotten a little dicey, and John Mark abandoned them. And so Barnabas says, let's give the kid another chance. Paul says no. And the disagreement is so sharp that they part ways, that they leave. They end up going completely different directions. And I don't know about you, whenever I read this passage, I get a little sad over this because I've experienced things like this in my life where people get angry or frustrated with one another. And as a result, the church ends up experiencing some sort of a split. Now, we don't know exactly what happened, but we know that this was a strong disagreement. And here's the thing that I want us to hear today. People are going to leave our church. We don't really want them to leave the church. We don't want people to get upset. We don't want disagreements to happen, but it will happen. Now, it won't always be over disagreements, right? Sometimes it'll be because people move or people pass away or relationships change or jobs change or whatever happens. But there is always a coming and a going within the church. One of my mentors said to me many years ago, Steve, over the course of your ministry, you will preach to a parade. That was hard to hear. Houston is a hub in the energy industry. And over the years, there have been so many families that have been part of this church. I've really enjoyed getting to know them. And just a year or two or three in, and they're like, okay, we're moving. We're headed on to this other place. And lots of people have come and lots of people have gone. And I don't know the numbers at this point, but I would guess it has to be in the thousands of people that have come during my tenure year and have moved on to somewhere else. Some of them because they got upset with me or didn't like something that we did, but others also for other reasons that were good reasons and healthy reasons. Here's the thing. The church is always changing. We have our own thing happening today. I planned this passage out months ago, but it just so happens that today, on the day I'm preaching this passage, we're celebrating Sean and Christy's last Sunday. There hasn't been a disagreement. Nothing is evil. Nothing is bad, but the Lord is leading him to a new place. You know, I notice in this passage, Luke doesn't tell us Paul was right and Barnabas was wrong. He doesn't even attempt to assign blame. He just says, hey, they had a different set of convictions, they had a disagreement, and they went different directions. I think that there's a whole lot of different denominations, a lot of different churches, because people have different convictions and people end up not staying and decide to leave. People grow theologically. People change in the way that they view the world. Sometimes a church that seems healthy doesn't feel like it fits anymore, or whatever reason. Here's the thing that I want us to hear. There will be departures. People will leave. And yet, at the same time, God works in the midst of it. I don't know if you saw it, but right after Paul and Barnabas split, Barnabas takes John Mark, Paul chooses Silas, and then a few verses later picks up Timothy. Do you notice what happens? God redeems and God works in the midst of that. And this is the thing I want us to see. Departures will happen, but departures lead to fresh voices. Departures lead to fresh voices. And I want to talk about that for a second. Go down to the next section, chapter 16, verses 1 through 5. Here's the thing that I've learned over the years. We don't usually like change, right? It's not our favorite thing. We like things to kind of just be the same way. But we also have recognized that sometimes God will force us to change so that he can speak something fresh and different into our lives. God does at least two things here through the split with Paul and Barnabas. First, he multiplies kingdom efforts. There once was one missionary team. Now there's two missionary teams, all right? So there was a team that was Paul and Barnabas. And I was sad whenever they split up. I don't know that God wanted them to split up, but when they did, he was able to redeem that and say, okay, Barnabas and John Mark, you're gonna go to Cyprus, and Paul and Silas, and then eventually Timothy, you're gonna go on to these other places as well. This is sort of akin, not the same, but sort of akin to us in church planting. I don't really enjoy it sometimes whenever we send out people to start new churches. We're excited that they leave, not excited because you're going, but excited because they're going to help spread the gospel. Sometimes you'll hear us say around here, we don't want to be the largest church in the area. We do, however, want to church the area, because we believe that the spread of the kingdom is more important than the growth of our own church. And over the years, we've had church planters who have stood on the stage and they have preached and they said, I'm going to plant a church in this part of the city, and I will say the same thing. I'll say, if you hear the Lord speaking to you through this individual and you want to go with them, you are hereby released and commissioned to go and help them start another church. Why? Why do we do that? Because we believe that sometimes these departures, these goodbyes, end up bringing fresh visions and fresh voices into the church. So in January, we're going to have a young man by the name of Joseph Castillo. He's planning to start a church in Bridgeland. He'll stand up here at some point in 2024. He'll preach a sermon, and I'll say the same thing. If you hear the Lord leading you to go with him, then you are released and you are welcome to go with him. If you feel called to go, then go, because we believe the kingdom is more important than our individual church. Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God made it grow. Something beautiful happens whenever we release and allow God to work. Here's the thing I want you to hear. We can make pastors and preachers into idols, can't we? We can say, well, you know, I really only hear God speak through that person. Or I came here to follow that person. If you're here for me and not for the Lord, that's a problem. I love that you love me, but I want you to love Jesus more. And the thing that we need to recognize is that sometimes God will bring about those departures to allow ministry to multiply. One of the things that happens when you go from one church to two churches, now we need more people to serve in all of these places. Sometimes people will come to church and sit back and not serve because they'll say, looks like everything's covered. But when you start new churches, now we need new leaders and new people to engage and other people to serve. Sometimes the Lord moves people on so that we will move into action. So, sometimes, or the way that first way that God that redeems this is that he multiplies it from one ministry team into two. Here's the second thing he does, is that he allows new voices to come into the conversation. He helps us hear new things. Sometimes we can't hear what a pastor is saying because we've been listening to them for too long. So now sometimes I'll bring in guest preachers, right? And I mean, we love them. They're great. And one of the guys that I brought in a few months ago was a guy by the name of Recab Gray. And Pastor Recab came. He spoke this summer, but he also spoke several months back. And after he got done preaching, we sat down at the lunch table. And my youngest son looked at me and had the audacity to say, that was the best preacher I've ever heard in my life. I was like, no offense taken. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. He then proceeded to say, he said this, I've never heard that before. I was like, what? I've said it 300 times. Sometimes we hear from the same voice with such regularity, they become white noise. I love getting to preach. But sometimes a fresh voice is needed. I mean, I'll just tell you, it's beautiful and also hurts your feelings real bad whenever you bring in a guest preacher like, wow, never heard anybody say that before. You're like, well, thanks for listening. But that's the truth. We get a different voice and suddenly we can hear from the Lord. They use a different phrase or they come at it from a different direction and suddenly it makes sense to us. And that is why we change it up regularly in the pulpit here. Because different voices hit different people and allow us to hear different things. And this is why, even though it's been hard for me over the years, whenever our staff has turned over and different people have left and gone different places, young voices have made me fresh. We'll have young staff members and they'll say, man, you know, why don't we try it this way? Or why don't you do it this way? Or, you know, this is a little outdated. Have we thought about doing this? Now, whenever I got here many moons ago, I was known as the young pastor at Houston Northwest Church. Nobody describes me that way anymore. A little too much gray in the beard, I guess, at this point. But it's good for us to have those young, fresh voices because they keep us fresh. One of the best things about my sons is that they are regularly pushing me to see fresh things and new ways to lead and new ways to speak and to be effective in the church. And one of the things that we have to do is we have to be open to these new young voices. Now, I don't know that the Lord wanted Paul and Barnabas to split, but the God of the universe was able to lean in and bring redemption in spite of it. Okay, verse 6. We go down to verse 6 and we see they go to the region of Phrygia and Galatia. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Now, here's the funny thing about this. So Paul gets Silas, and then he picks up Timothy, and here in a couple of verses, apparently picks up Luke because it goes from they to we. So we've got this band of four folks that are going now and spreading the gospel. So we've got Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke, and they're going and they're preaching the gospel where they're going, and they want to go into Asia. So for whatever reason, they look and they say, let's go into Asia and let's start to carry the gospel to this place that has not heard the word of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit says no. And this is the third thing I want us to see in this passage, is that sometimes the brutal truth about church is that there will be delays. They go from there, they can't go into Asia, the Holy Spirit won't let them. And so then they say, oh, okay, well, let's go into Bithynia. And the Spirit of Jesus, just another way of saying the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus then says, no, you can't go here either. And we don't know exactly how long this took, but based on the way that the biblical writers wrote in the ancient world, this is probably summarizing several weeks, if not months, of delays. And they're not able to get to where it is that they want to be. Some of us in this room resonate with Paul because we can hear and feel these sorts of emotions. You want to do something for God, and God says, nope, you don't get to do that right now. You say, well God, I mean, this is clear. Look at the need over in Asia. Let me go over there. Or look at the need over here in Bithynia. I'm just trying to serve you, God. Let me do the thing that I really want to do real bad. And the Lord says, nope, you cannot do that right now. Now, the question, of course, is why? I have no idea. We have no idea. The scripture doesn't tell us. We don't know. We just know that for whatever reason, the Lord says, nope, you can't go into Asia, and nope, you can't go into Bithynia. I want you to do something entirely different. And so he puts them off. Have you ever felt like God was putting you in the penalty box, stuck you in the waiting room? You were like, I know this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to do something big for you, Lord. We're just wasting time. Come on, let's get to it. And what the Lord wants us to hear today is that our worth is not found in what we do, but what he has already done for us in Jesus Christ. A lot of us feel like we're stuck. And what God's trying to do is not to have us stuck, but instead to grow. He wants us to learn in this moment. Most of us feel like spiritual growth ought to look like a line graph moving up and to the right, when really it never looks like that. We don't know exactly why God does this. Maybe he's arranging circumstances or moving people or changing things in our own hearts, but God knows. Too often I have believed that spiritual growth for me was accomplishing tasks. But spiritual growth is not me getting stuff done for God. I'm going to do great things for you, God. Spiritual growth is you becoming comfortable in your identity as a child of God. I mean, we start trying to be out there moving in power, and he just wants us to learn how to be present with him. Sometimes God will put you in the squeeze hold, won't he? He just grab you, give you the sleeper. Now you're going to stay right here for a second. And the more that you wiggle and writhe and try to get out of his grasp, the tighter he squeezes. And we think we're going to learn and show the world and do all this stuff by getting out there. And he says, no, you're not going to do anything till you learn what I want you to learn right here. You're going to stay right here. Too many of us have believed falsely that our identity is errand runner for the Lord. God can't get stuff done if I don't do it for him. Obedience is good, y'all. It's good to do what God wants you to do. Don't hear me saying that. But too many of us are trying to be too busy when God is simply asking us to be present. We need to stop doing things that God hasn't told us to do. You are not the Lord's Savior. He is yours. And we think, well, man, this church is going to fail without me, or this ministry is not going to get it done without me, or if I don't do this, then things aren't going to happen. Graveyards are filled with indispensable people, right? You are not going to stand before the Lord's throne one day and be saved by a performance evaluation. You're going to be saved by the grace of God given through the cross and the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. It's good to go and tell people about him. But your timetable is not his timetable. And he made time, so let's trust him. Now, one of the sad things about this is sometimes you talk to people and they say, well, you know, I don't want to get out of step with the Lord. I have great news. If you're seeking God, like if you're truly seeking God, God, I just want to do what you want me to do. I don't want to get out of your favor. I want to do what it is that you want me to do. Then guess what? He won't let you go where you're not supposed to go. The Holy Spirit will say, can't go into Asia, can't go into Bithynia. Now, sometimes people mishear this and they think, well, if I'm doing what God wants me to do, then nothing bad will happen to me. False. Sometimes you can be doing exactly what God wants you to do, and what God wants is for you to get beat up a little bit. Right? Because sometimes suffering well is what we are called to do for the Lord. That happens sometimes. But if you are crying out to God and saying, God, I don't want to misstep, you're not going to misstep. Now, we've heard over the years, if the Lord closes a door, then he opens a window. Maybe. And that ain't in the Bible, right? Sometimes he'll close the door and he'll say, you're locked in here now. Stay still, sucker. This is what's happening. And that is okay. That is okay. If that's where the Lord wants you, the best thing to do is to sit still and learn what he wants you to learn. I learned about this app recently called the Guide Along app. I don't know if you know about it, but it connects to your GPS. And if you're in some sort of like a tourist destination, as you're driving along, the app will speak to you and will say, hey, you're coming up on a really cool site. If you turn right here, you can go down here and see this historic marker or this museum or, you know, whatever this tourist attraction might be. Now, you wouldn't know that if you weren't using the Guide Along app. You would just follow, you'd stay on your route, and boom, that's where you're going. The Holy Spirit is your Guide Along app. You didn't know that you needed to learn this, but he's going to grab you today and say, oh, you thought you were going to Bithynia today. No, you're going somewhere else. You're going to Philippi, right? And grab you and move you. Because the Lord is interested in you looking like Jesus, not you getting stuff done. His highest goal is for you to be shaped into the likeness of his son. What we call delays are often God's way of getting us on his schedule. I don't know about you, but I have the habit sometimes of running so fast I can get in front of the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit likes to do is trip me up. And say, oh, sorry about that. Wait on me. I'll show you where we're going and when we're going to be there. So why? Why does the Spirit do that? Verse 11. Go down to verse 11. You kind of see they end up in these other places. And in verse 12, from there they ended up in Philippi, a Roman colony and a leading city in the district of Macedonia. Now, Paul gets a vision of a Macedonian man, but when they get there, they don't actually find a Macedonian man. They actually find a Macedonian woman named Lydia. So they go out to the city gate because there's no synagogue. They start to preach. Lydia, a dealer of purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, comes to faith and says, come to my house. They go to her house, and a church is born in Philippi. Now, here's what I want you to hear. They think that they're way behind, months perhaps behind schedule. They think they're in the wrong place. They wanted to go to Asia, didn't get to go there. Wanted to go to Bithynia, didn't get to go there. They didn't even find the man in the vision. There's no men here. It's just this woman named Lydia. Basically, Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke, if asked to grade themselves in this moment, would say, up until the moment before Lydia became a believer, they would say, this trip has been a failure. But guess what? The church at Philippi is started in Lydia's house, and this is the church to which Paul wrote one of the most often quoted books of the Bible, the book of Philippians. Here's a few greatest hits from the book of Philippians. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Have the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. I could keep going. Here's the point. If we stick with Paul's plan, he ends up in Asia, and I'm sure fine things happen, but we don't get the treasure of Philippians. The delays that seem discouraging end up being the true source of treasure. This is the thing I want us to recognize, is that God is not making a mistake in putting you where he is putting you. These delays end up leading to a fresh vision of a Macedonian man. That Macedonian vision leads them to start a church that ends up becoming receiving a letter that is encouraging believers 2,000 years later. God knew we would need the book of Philippians. He knew it. And so he put Paul in that place at that time with that woman to receive the faith on that day. I don't know, maybe Lydia didn't go to the city gate on Tuesdays and only went on Wednesdays. I'm not sure why. But that was why God brought Paul to that city on that day to preach that gospel. Now, I share all this with you because we need to hear that these departures lead to fresh voices and these delays lead to fresh visions because this is how Jesus works. This is a sermon ostensibly about church life. But honestly, it's the brutal truth, not just about church, but about our individual lives. The whole time I was writing this sermon, I was thinking about how it applied to me and probably to y'all as well. How many of us in this room have experienced some sort of painful relational departure in the last year? A friendship that's broken, someone who passed away. We used to have these people who lived next door to us and then they moved. We were used to this season of relationships and we would look back and we would say, that was our golden era. We had all these friends and we were raising our kids together or we were really experiencing life together or whatever it was. And we think, well, it can never be that good again. Or others of us, not a departure, but a delay. We're sitting here today and we're discouraged because we feel stuck. God, why haven't you let me do this thing yet? Why am I not able to really finally accomplish the thing for you that I've been wanting to accomplish, Lord? I feel like I'm behind. I ought to be further along by now. I should have gotten that degree or made more money or I should have found the person I was supposed to marry or God, I should have had kids or Lord, I was supposed to have already be at the top of my profession by now. Whatever thing we're telling ourselves, right? These people are gone or I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And here's what I want you to hear today. God is not simply in the business of bringing fresh voices and fresh visions to churches. He does it to people too. Some of us have gone through a painful departure, but hang on, God's going to bring a new voice into your life. Some of us today feel stuck, but hang on, he's going to get you right on schedule and bring you right where he wants to bring you. That is the nature of our God. He is both local and cosmic in his scope. He's not simply redeeming all of creation and church congregations as well. He is in the business of redeeming individual lives. Here's just a fun little side note that I love. John Mark is the source of conflict in Acts 15. What we don't hear is that later John Mark and Paul are reconciled. There's a passage in Colossians, it's Colossians 4:10, where Paul writes, and we find out that John Mark has rejoined Paul and he's in prison with Paul. And then later in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, Paul says, would you please send Mark to me? He's useful to me. And then later in Philemon verse 23, Mark is in jail with Paul again, and he sends his greetings with Paul. What's the point? Sometimes we're convinced that the season we're in is going to last forever. I'm always going to be in this relational funk. I'm always going to be in this place that I don't want to be. I'm never going to actually be in the place that God has put in my heart or has promised to me. But the truth is that things are always moving and things are always changing. And that if we'll rest in what the Lord is doing, then we can experience something beautiful and powerful, because if we will allow him, God will bring redemption to us too. That's really the gospel, right? That in the midst of pain, salvation is given. Like, salvation is given because of the cross. Salvation is given because of the cross. In the midst of death, in the midst of torture, in the midst of Jesus hanging there in deep agony, salvation is given. And then from the belly of a tomb, a grave, a cemetery, a graveyard, it's there that God does his supreme act of triumph and delivers Jesus into resurrection. When things appear darkest and deadliest is when God is ready to deliver. And what I want you to hear today is that his redemptive act has not reached its climax with you until you have breathed your last on this planet. And until that's happened, do not count him out. He can still work to bring a new voice. He can still work to bring a new vision. You are not forgotten. You have not been cast aside, because our God never stops redeeming. Yeah, amen to that. So here's what I want you to hear today. If you're in the midst of a painful storm or season, God redeems. And we can pray the same prayer that Peggy Jones prayed. Help me, Jesus. And he still hears it. And he still redeems. Even when you feel like snakes are falling from the sky. Would you pray with me? Lord, I want to pray for those in this room right now who just feel as if they've lost someone in the last however long, and they haven't found that fresh voice yet. God, I just pray, bring them that voice. Bring them the person that can speak your truth to them in a way that's fresh and clear and new, that they would hear from you. God, I want to pray for those in this room who feel stuck. They haven't been able to do the thing that you've asked them to accomplish. And Lord, let them know they are not being disobedient, but at the same time, to wait on your timing. As I heard as a kid, he's never late, he's always right on time. And then God, for those who are here today that needed to hear the message of redemption and need to know that you are still saving, Lord, I pray that you would bring them deliverance and grace. And that God, even now, some people would decide to give their heart and their life to you. So nobody looking around. But just right now, if you'd say, I'm ready today to give my heart and my life to Jesus. I want to pray for you. Would you just raise your hand up right now so I can just pray for you? And say, Steve, I'm ready. I'm ready to place my faith in Jesus for the first time. Just raise your hand up so I can pray for you here today. Anybody here ready to do that? Okay. I see you. Thank you. Anybody else? Ready to follow Jesus? Ready to just come before him? Just raise your hand up. Okay. Okay. I see you. Thank you. Okay. Others? Okay. Lord, thank you for these who've raised their hands. I saw three. There might have been more. God, I pray that today they would begin this journey. And even right now, they would just pray with me. Lord, I give my heart and my life to you. Forgive me of my sin. I'm ready to be your child. I'm ready to walk with you. God, thank you for Jesus dying for my sin. Thank you for Jesus conquering death. And I'm ready now, Lord, to follow you all of my days. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Thank you so much for joining us. And if you have any questions about what you just heard, we'd love to talk with you. You can get connected at hnw.org about what we believe, or how to join a small group, or follow us on social media as well. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'd love to see you soon.